Welcome to the Smart Women Published podcast. I'm your host, Bev Ryan. I really love helping smart women write and publish nonfiction books that have an impact in the world and also in their own, in themselves. I'm also the author of the book Smart Women Publish, which has really led to this podcast. Today I'm talking with Chris Barrett, who's in Brisbane, Australia. Chris is an integrative nutrition coach, and I was really fortunate to have a small helping hand in the process of one of her books. So Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Bev. It's a pleasure to be here.
Chris, can you tell us about a book that has impacted you?
Yes, I'm going to be very greedy though, and I'm going to mention two if I can, because I've had two books that have profoundly impacted me in quite different ways that led me to the same point. The first one was a book called Unraveling the Mystery of Autism, and the author is Karen Sarousi. And I believe it was written in the late 90s, and I stumbled across it in 2004, just not long after my son was diagnosed with autism. And at that time, I was desperate, and I was just looking for information. I was looking for a path and some guidance, and I just couldn't find what I was looking for. I stumbled across this book, and I was like, oh, it was almost like that, you know, she was speaking to me, she saw me, she'd been in my house. And it was actually the first book that really gave me hope for my son and sort of, you know, a guideline and a pathway to sort of get through the darkness and come out the other side. So I'm very, very grateful that that she actually took the time to write down her experiences and that I came across that. So, and then the second book that impacted me greatly, this is an interesting story. So my name's Chris, short for Christine, but I'm with a K. So, there's not, you know, it's a little bit more unusual, Christine with a K. And I remember being in a bookstore in New York in Barnes and Noble, and I was looking through the autism and health and self-help section, and this book was just there, and in big letters there was, it looked like my name, it was Christine Barnett, and it was Christine with a K, but it was, instead of Barrett, it was Barnett, and she'd written a book about her son who was on the autism spectrum and then what they did and how he'd got through. And I'd always been toying with the idea of writing a book, and when I saw that book on the shelf, I just went, oh, that's my sign. That was a sign for me. It was almost seeing my own name on the shelf already. And I bought the book. It was an amazing read. And I brought it home and just went, okay, that's the sign I needed to actually sit down and write my own book, because I saw my, you know, literally for a second, I'd already seen my name as the author on the spine. So,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great experience. Yeah.
Awesome. So there's obviously a lot of background that the listeners need at this point. So what do you do today, and what's led you there?
Yeah, great. Yeah, a lot of background. So today I am an integrative nutrition coach and an essential oils coach, and I work with families who have kids living with autism and ADHD, and I help them to change their diets, to use natural remedies like food and plant-based essential oils to actually improve things like, you know, mood and anxiety and sleep and stress and digestion. So this all comes back to when I was doing that for my son, because we found that all the traditional therapies that I started back in 2004 for my he was quite severely autistic. All the traditional therapies were just not working. And it was only after I stumbled across this book and stumbled across an alternative pathway of actually changing diets and then seeing the impact that had, it literally changed my son's life, changed our life. Then I went on to open a business importing special foods for kids who had autism, who couldn't eat the regular things because the dietary changes that we did cut out gluten and cut out dairy, which was all of the four or five foods that my son ate. So I had to go through that whole process of changing those diets to find replacements. And then I ended up studying holistic nutrition so I could help other families make those same changes and see those same differences. So that's what I do today. I have the absolute pleasure of working with really motivated families to take them on this path less traveled and just use, you know, that this it's not hokey pokey, it's food, it's essential oils that come from plants, and we can have this profound impact on the whole family's health and happiness.
Do you find that there's still resistance out there, even in the medical community?
Yep. Even after all this time, so I began this 15 years ago, and it still really saddens me that there is so much resistance. Sometimes it's almost like, you know, you say at a dinner party you shouldn't talk about religion or politics. Well, you shouldn't talk about food either, because people can come very, very upset and, you know, what are you saying? Am I a bad mother because I don't do this? So there is still a lot of resistance around it. And unfortunately, you know, you still have to go out on a limb to find an alternative practitioner. You know, my pediatrician has said to me, oh, it was just, you know, isn't it a coincidence? Isn't it good luck that your son has grown out of these autism symptoms? Really? Like, might be good luck. So there is still a lot of resistance. That's a really good point to make, and which saddens me. I would have thought 15 years down the track we would have been, you know, a lot more open. But you know, thanks to people like Pete Evans, and you know, who's willing to take the flack. You know, I love good old Pete Evans. He doesn't care what people throw on him. He's just, you know, living the, you know, good food, natural, healthy lifestyle. So thanks to people like him, some high profile people who have jumped on that bandwagon, we are getting a little bit more traction. You know, about all issue that food can matter and food can make a difference.
Yeah, excellent. And that's why it's so important that people like you write your stories. So before we get onto that, I'm just interested, before kids, what was your career?
Yeah, before kids, oh gosh, it seems like 100 years ago. I did have a career. Yes. I lived in Sydney. I'd been to university. I lived in Sydney. I'd landed a corporate job with IBM. You know, I was high heels, nice suits, company cars, lots of travel. I was working in marketing and distribution. And, it's just a hilarious course of events, really, because my friends who knew me then, you know, I couldn't even make a packet cake. I didn't, you know, wouldn't have cared. My best food concoction would have been something out of a jar. So it was sort of 100 years ago in a galaxy far, far away that I was in corporate and living that life. So
fascinating. So everything you've learned now, as the expert in the field you're in, you've learned it through necessity and gumption.
Yep.
Awesome. So I have to ask, have you, because I'm sure other people ask you, have you then gone on to study more within the field that you are now working in?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. So I didn't study nutrition in Australia because I didn't want to learn the food pyramid, because the food pyramid was not something that was able to heal and help my son. So I studied in America, and then since then I've got several other qualifications in very specialized dietary protocols, which have come from trainers in the UK and also out of the US. So it's almost like peeling off the layers of the onion. You peel a little bit off and it's like, oh gosh, now I only know this much about that, so I need to go a bit further and learn a bit more and experiment. So yeah, I have had a few more qualifications in the nutrition side of things, then the health coaching side of things, and then the most recently is the essential oils side of things.
Right. Oh, excellent. Yeah. So you've written two books. So tell us about the first one, how what it was, what it is, and how that came about.
Yeah. So the first book I wrote is called No Cows Today. And you have to read the book to find out why it's called that. It will make no sense if I tell you. But that was my story and our son's story. And I always said, you know, people would say, you know, just those off the cuff remarks that go, oh, I wonder, you should write a book about this, or, you know, just the things we're going through. I kept a lot of journals during that time. I think that sort of saved my sanity as my whole world was, you know, falling apart around me. I think the journal sort of saved my sanity. And then, you know, I was telling my story a lot to try and, you know, help other people, just to, you know, let them know there is hope and there is possibility, and don't just go home with a label and, you know, and accept that, you know, there's a lot more you can do. And I just thought, gosh, if this is, you know, out there, if my story is out there, it might had the same impact on someone else that that original book by Karen Sarowski had on me. It might give someone else hope, and it might just let someone else see that even though they're, you know, in the midst of it, that there might be another way, and they might be able to come through and be living in a good place. So that's why I wrote that book. And I, you know, all those years that I was doing it, I was like, one day I'll write a book. And, you know, I used to sit around with my friends and they go, oh, there's a story for the book. And so it was sort of one of those things actually, yeah. And I think it was at a point where Tim had probably was just finishing primary school, and I felt like I had a minute to have a breath. Right. And actually go, okay, now's the time to do it. So so that was important to me, just to get that out there. And it was actually almost cathartic for me, just to write it all down and look back through it. It was a really great therapy exercise to immerse myself in that. So
yeah, excellent.
So that was my first one. And And then I wrote another one a few years later, which was not quite so personal, but that was almost the how-to. So the first book was like, you know, this is how the this is how the family was affected, and you know, at a very high level, this is what we did. We did this and we did this, but I didn't go into the nitty-gritty. So in the second book, which I called High Thrive Me, that was the five steps, and literally that, you know, you can go and pick up this book for $20. And if you follow those five steps, that's exactly what I did to get the outcomes that I got. So I thought that was, again, just a really, it put it out to a wider audience. I mean, at that time, yes, I was doing coaching. I'm doing, you know, private coaching with clients and sometimes small group coaching, but a lot of, you know, I can't be everywhere, or, you know, people don't have the means to be able to, you know, work privately, or, you know, or necessarily want that intensive work. So I thought, if I can just like, again, just like, just put it all out onto, this is exactly what I did and this is how I did it, then people would be able to pick that up, run with it, and, you know, get the same results, I hoped.
Mm. And have you found, as you've been writing the books, particularly that last one, that you've had to really put a lot of your content, a lot of your ideas, a lot of your knowledge into order?
Yes. Yeah, that was the amazing thing about trying to write that book and putting it into a framework. Because in a way it was much easier just to write my story. It was almost like that stream of consciousness, and it was just, you know, it was linear. It was this old, and then we worked up to this old. But yet actually putting a coaching process into a book without being able to say to people, oh yeah, by the way, when you do that. And, you know, all those little things that you can do when you're in person or you're, actually coaching. I that was really, really challenging. And I had to flip that completely. And that was a big learning process to do that book, actually, because I had to really flip it and start with the, you know, I had to get the process right, and then find out where my knowledge and where my little bits of things fitted within a process that made sense. Mm-hmm. And was sort of the lowest common denominator so that everyone could go through it.
Excellent. And so have you found then that you've been able to use that foundation for programs or
yes,
even just methodology?
Yes, definitely. Yes. So it really helped me, actually, because even prior to writing the book, I did have programs. But when I sat down to write the book, I was like, I can't actually just put that program into a book format. So I literally had to pull everything apart and put it back together. And the book was a much better process because of the time and the energy that I put into making sure it all made sense. So then that forms, you know, yeah, definitely the basis of then ongoing coaching. So we can then, you know, sometimes I can offer a program, but we're literally just pulling out, you know, one of the parts from that book because it's a five-step guide. So we can go, okay, where are you up to? Let's pull out one of these and go really deep into them. Or, you know, I've got now developed other resources that can then be added in. So that's like, okay, if you've got the book, yes, you know that knowledge from the book, but now I've got extra that I can give to you in coaching programs that would complement what's in that section of the book. So, yeah, it becomes that the foundation, really, of everything else that I would offer now.
Excellent. It's such a worthwhile exercise for all sorts of reasons and all sorts of outcomes. So, I mean, it's obvious how the the book has impacted what you do and your business, but what about the impact of either book, both books, on others? Do you get feedback?
I do. The feedback on the first book, which was our story, was like, literally, I must have, I don't know how many hundreds of emails, and people are like, oh my gosh, it was like you were writing my story. So, you know, people were reading it and just seeing, you know, there was nothing extraordinary about me or my son or my family. We were just ordinary people going through this, you know, horrid situation, and, you know, in a murky, you know, in the murky darkness, sort of finding our way through. So I love that. I love that. That's what I wanted it to do. I wanted it to speak to people and for them to be able to see themselves in that, so that they could also, you know, see themselves coming out of the other side. So I love that feedback. And then the High Thrive Me, the more how-to, I mean, there's probably two different sets of feedback I get from that. One is some people can just take that and literally run with it and, you know, do everything and change their lives. And then other people will read it and go, okay, I really, really love that and I want to do it. I just need a little bit more hand-holding. So, again, it just comes back to that one, you know, giving them the framework, which, you know, again, gives them, though, the hope, and it, you know, steps them through not only things that they can do now, but, you know, something they can pull out a couple of years down the track and still take something else from it that they can add in to improve what's going on.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So have you also found that your book has really raised your visibility in more of an international space?
Yes and no. So yes, because, you know, when the book's on Amazon, you know, people can access it from wherever they are. It was interesting when I was getting the first book edited that the editor was an American and kept wanting me to change all this stuff. I was like, well, no, we don't say that. And so I really wrote it for the mum like me, the Australian mum. So I think there's a lot of the first book that, you know, the, maybe internationals find a little bit crazy. But definitely having the books has allowed me to be, for example, invited on several online summits, which have been run by people out of the States or out of the UK, and one was run even out of Israel that I participated in. So definitely that had, you know, gave me that reach for sure.
Yeah. And then you also get connections in terms of practicing your expertise. You've got a network of people who you can probably reach out to and check facts with. And
yes. Yeah. No, it's been great, and it just gives you so much more credibility when you can sort of say, you know, I'm a peer of this person, you know, or I you know, I'm a colleague of this particular specialist in the area, which is really, yeah, it really gives you a lot of kudos, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So looking back, what do you feel was the most difficult part of the publishing process?
Well, the first book I did on my own, the second one I did with you. I didn't know about you in the first book. So, like, working with you on the second book was literally a breeze because it was like you handled all that other stuff. But, you know, just that it was very, very time consuming to, you know, where do you find an editor, or, you know, where do you find someone who's going to, you know, typeset it and all the rest of it. So I think that sort of stuff, writing it was probably the easiest part of the first book. And then the actual, you know, getting something concrete into your hand was the more fussy bit, and, you know, getting ISBN numbers. And, you know, so it was sort of like, again, dipping my toe into this area that I had no expertise in, and, you know, it was very, very time consuming and not something I would do again, to be honest. And so the second book was flipped, because the difficult part was actually getting the framework right and making sure the content was on point, because then, you know, you and your team of experts just took over the rest of it, and then the book just happened in the background. So it was two different experiences for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting, because within publishing, if the listeners are sort of early stages, you can definitely create a book on your own. You just have to find all the people, all the expertise that you need along the way. Mm. Or you can use someone like me who's basically project management, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So you can have one person to connect with, and that one person really manages the process.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad you found that one.
No, I did. It was great. It was really cool to have the two experiences, actually, because, like I said, I wouldn't do it. The first one was good, you know, and that was great. I was really trying to, you know, have the experience of doing the book, but that's okay. Once is enough.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the busier you get with your own business, the less time you've got to create these assets. So it is good to know that there are other people out there that can help with that.
Definitely.
So just to sort of finish off, what advice do you have for other women in business who are starting out in the publishing journey? Anything, any tips that you give them?
Work with someone like you. Work with you. Yeah. Like, don't try and do that. Like, keep to your expertise. Like, your expertise is bringing our ideas to life. So, you know, like, if you wanted to do a book, I would say, you know, make it with your zone of genius, put your stuff into it, get it down on paper, and then let the process happen by someone who does that as their zone of genius, to bring it to life for you. But I would say don't hesitate. Having a book just gives you so much credibility. It gives you the ability to, you know, for example, I might get invited to conferences and they say, we can't pay you, but you can have your book there to sell. So, you know, obviously, you know, that's great because then you can go do some speaking and, you know, still make some money at the end of the day and get your, you know, your information and things out to other people. Or, you know, people just really want something at the end of the day, even if you are just doing a free talk somewhere, you know, well, where can I get more information and can I take this home and look at it myself? So people actually really, really want what you've got to say. And I really think that they, you know, they are interested, and it's almost like, I've had someone say to me, it's almost like again, if you're doing some coaching or something, it's almost like a little bit of a teaser. It's like, okay, you'll really get to know me and who I am and how I do things if you read my book, because you'll really get a good sense of me. And then you can decide, you know, do you want to go any further with that? You know, do we resonate? And, you know, is my knowledge something that you, you know, want to take further and pay more for? So it's sort of like almost like a business card, an introduction, you know, a getting to know you. And it also, it just gives you that credibility because you've taken the time. You know, and anyone who's written a book will appreciate what's gone into it. And because you've taken the time to actually articulate your experiences in the hope that, you know, somebody else can learn or benefit from them, yeah, I think, definitely, you know, people really appreciate it.
I think from the reader's point of view, we have to remember that for them it's really a low-risk purchase.
Yes.
Low-cost, low-risk purchase, and a way for them to get to know more about you.
Yes. Definitely. So it's great because, I mean, if you've got, you know, if you've got and this happens to me all the time, I'll see an order come through my website for the book and that will get posted out. And, you know, as you say, it's a $20, you know, it's like, and then maybe 2 weeks later, I'll see, you know, an order come through for a coaching program, which might be a couple of $100 from that same person who's bought the book.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that really nice low level introduction to your work and to you, which can then, you know, if you are offering programs in that way, can be a really nice introduction.
Excellent. And on the flip side of that, because it is easily accessible, it still has to be really high quality. It has to look and feel good because people will make assumptions about you based on the quality of your book.
Absolutely. That's a great point, because if it was just something, you know, photocopied and bound and, you know, and not done properly, then obviously that's going to reflect on your brand and their expectations of what they might get if they were to spend, you know, any more time or money with you.
Yes. Well, Chris, I'm going to wrap up there. So it's been wonderful to have you online. So where can people find you?
Yes, well, my website, everything about me and a whole lot of free resources and all sorts of things are on there. And it's Chris Barrett, and it's Chris with a K. So it's Kris Barrett at sorry, chrisbarrett.com.au. You don't need my email address. So,
and it's Barrett with two R's and two T's.
It is, yes. So a bit of a mouthful.
So you've got so much value to offer to people who are going through very similar circumstances to what you did with your family. And I'd encourage anyone listening to reach out for definitely and to tell other people about you and your book and your services. So again, thanks for having thanks for having me. Thanks for coming on my show. And I'm Bev Ryan, and you can find me at smartwomenpublish.com.